Tonight we gather as a church to ordain our deacons and our trustees. The word ordain means to set aside for special service, and so that's what we're doing tonight to the eight men that we elected a couple weeks ago, four as deacons and four as trustees. And as part of the service tonight, I want each of them in just a moment, and Adam, if you would make sure the mic's on for me, to come and share their testimony of their salvation experience. I'm going to introduce them all one at a time, and as I do, I'm just going to ask them to come to the microphone here in the front and then take a couple minutes, again, to share with us when they were saved and how they were saved and just their salvation testimony. And so I'm going to start with our deacons, and our first deacon is Harry Beach. You know Harry and his wife, Judy, and Judy will come and just... that's right, you stay there just for now, Judy. And Harry, I want you to take your place at the microphone here so you can give your testimony in just a moment. But Harry and Judy have four children, three living and one in heaven. They have two grandchildren and one on the way. And the mother-to-be of that one on the way is here tonight. Nikki, we've been praying for you and Quentin. And pray that the Lord will just keep you safe and your baby safe until the time that it is delivered. Harry's been a member of our church since September of 2007. Of course, he is an usher, sings in the choir. And last month, we got him indoctrinated down at the soup kitchen. And he came down and helped us on Saturday morning. So, Harry, if you would, if you just share your testimony with us, please, sir.
My Christian education began when I was just a boy in elementary school. My parents would have us get on the church, Baptist church bus that picked us up every Sunday. My sister and brother and I were all saved and baptized in that church in Mount Morris by Pastor Crompton. God must have had a plan, because shortly after that, my parents were saved, baptized, and all of my family became active church members. For a few years, I was a rebellious teenager. I did some dangerous things. I remember one time when a friend of mine and I were racing up a hill, passing three cars doing 130 miles an hour. We made it, and no one was hurt. I recall another time I fell off my motorcycle going 75, 80 miles an hour. That time I was hurt, but I could have died. God must have had a plan. Soon after that, at 21, I married my wife, Judy, in that same church I was saved. And I had my first son named Tony. He died from birth defects at the age of three. I felt as if I would die, but God must have had a plan. Later we were blessed with three more children, and all of them were saved and baptized in the Mount Morris First Baptist Church. For some reason, my wife and I felt restless in our old church, and so my wife and I started visiting other churches. That's when I was led to us to the Fellowship Baptist Church. Here I found the Holy Spirit. I was led to strengthen my faith through regular Sunday school attendance and Bible reading. I had never considered myself a singer before, but found myself led to join the church choir. Then I was asked to be an usher, and now I've been given the honor to serve as a deacon. Again, God must have a plan. Thank you for this opportunity.
All right, thank you, Harry. Now, I just say to all the kids here, those examples he was giving you of racing up that hill and riding his motorcycle, that's the things you don't want to do. Brother Harry, you can go ahead and be seated there in that first chair. Thank you so much. How long you guys been coming to the church? I know you came for a long while before you joined.
I think five years. Okay.
Good. All right. Then I'd like Brother Leonard Gordon to come. Of course, Leonard has... I'll let him tell you. He's been coming a long time, but and a lot of these guys came a long time before they joined. But of course, Leonard is married to Candy, and they have two children and four grandchildren, which we know very well because they attend here as well. Leonard's been a member since May of 01. And of course, he is our adult Sunday school teacher. Sings in the choir, is an usher, and does anything that his pastor asks him to do already before he is a deacon. So, Brother Leonard, I'd like you to share your testimony, if you would, please, sir.
Amen. Lord, won't you in Sunday school, too, by the way? I was saved in 1971 on a Sunday night at Ambassador Baptist Church in Mount Morris Township. I'm sure thankful that the Lord saved me.
Amen.
Me and my wife, I know we wouldn't be married today if God hadn't saved us both right there a month apart. So we had the privilege of growing in the Lord together. And as we began to grow, I don't think I had been saved over a month. And the preacher told me that I need to be a teacher. And the last thing I wanted to be was a teacher. But he said, God needs you as a teacher. I said, okay. So I went into the second grade boys and started teaching second grade boys. And then the bus minister guy says, you need to drive a bus. I ain't never drove no bus before, but I drove a bus and picked up kids for quite a while also. I graduated from second grade boys, and I went to young people. I had the young people for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I guess. And my kids really liked that because they got to go on all the activities. They really liked it, you know. And then I graduated from there and went to young adults. I taught young adults for a few years. Then I graduated when I moved here to this church in 2001. Started as the adult Sunday school teacher. I've got one more step to go. An all seniors class. I'm looking forward to that one day too. And the way we're going, everybody that's in my class is going to be a senior too. And we're all having to just name it a different name. But that's some of the things I did. But my number one goal was after I got saved was my children. I wanted my children to have what I didn't have growing up. So my goal was to have them to serve God. And anybody that has children, our goal is for them to serve God.
Amen.
And I can remember when I hired into the shop that I retired from. I was going to get on skilled trades. And I talked to the man, and he says, you'll never regret getting on skilled trades. He says, you're mandatory to work 7 days, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. I said, really, no time off? He said, you won't get no time off. I went home, I talked to my wife, I said, that's not for me. I want to go to church. I want to raise my kids in church. So I turned it down. I told him, I don't want it. He thought I was crazy. But, you know, it's paying off today because I have two children, two adult children that are serving God. They married saved people. And their spouses are busy in the church. And my goal now is the same as theirs, my grandchildren. I want my grandchildren to grow up and serve God. And I retired 2 years ago from General Motors. Best thing I ever did. They took 42 years of my life, and that was enough. But to say all of this and that, I feel it a privilege and an honor that you've entrusted into me to be one of the deacons. And our job today is to serve you. That's our goal, and our job is to serve you under the leadership of our pastor. And maybe we can be a blessing to each other. Our class has a little bit of a goal. We're praying for 14 new families to join the church in 2009. 14 plus. I don't want to limit God to only 14. We'll take more if he's got a plan. We're praying for that. If you're here and your family, you're not a member, you're on the list, and we're praying for you. I tell you right now, you don't have a chance when the class goes to praying for you. But that's our goal. My goal, Sunday school goal, and all the other deacons and trustees, is to see our church grow and go forward for God.
Amen.
And the way it has been going lately, I can't wait till December the 31st to see how many people God has given us through the year. Now, I get excited over that now. And I want you to pray with me and thank God for a church like this and a family. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Leonard. I'd like Brother Brian Lebrecq to come. Brian was also elected as a deacon. Of course, Brian is married to Teresa, Brother Leonard and Candy's daughter. They have four children. Brian has been a member since January of 2004. Of course, he is our junior church preacher and preaches every week to the juniors. He also ushers. He's also been very instrumental in our Bible schools the last couple of years, playing a major role in he's such a good sport. Whatever we come up with, he thinks about a little bit and he says, "Okay, whatever you want, preacher." So, Brian, I'd like you to share your testimony, please, sir.
Well, really, I could use about 15 minutes to tell this whole thing, but I'll cram it into the 3-minute time frame that I have. The overall gist of it is that I was born and raised a Catholic. And I grew up in a good home. I had good value-driven parents, but I was raised in a Catholic church where up through even the sixth grade, I went through things called the catechism classes, and it's like Sunday school except for on Tuesday nights, and they just teach kids about the doctrines of the Catholic Church. And we went to church pretty much every Sunday until, I would say, a high school age. My parents were both working by that time, working third shift, and for one reason or another, we kind of quit going, and really, that was just fine with us kids. And we didn't, I hate to say that like that, but it's true. I wasn't against religion, so to speak, but it really wasn't in the forefront of my mind. And so as the years kind of went through my college years and got a little bit older, the teenage and college years, I was, church and God were not, I was living outside the parameters of God's approval, I know. And but God was working on me. Again, this is part of my 15-minute story I can't talk about, right? But God was working on me. I didn't realize it. But finally, one time when I was about 21 years old and I was working in this restaurant waiting tables, they had hired this new waitress. And I thought she was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And so I begged her to go out with me, and eventually she agreed to. And that's supposed to be a joke.
We think it's true.
So it turns out, and it's, of course, it's Teresa, and it's one of the kids that Leonard just mentioned a minute ago, one of the kids that he brought up in church. He spent his life, dedicating his life to raising in this Christian realm. And fortunately for me, and because of her, I had asked her out and started going to church, and I went to church with her for that first summer. I would say it took maybe 4 months or so, and I consistently was going. And of course, throughout this whole time in my life, I'm thinking that, I don't know whether I was misled as a Catholic or I just wasn't paying attention, probably not paying attention. I was under this belief that as long as I live properly, live decent, live good, and I live a good life, and, I don't harm anybody, and when I come to the end, as long as I kind of outdone more bad with my good, then God will, he'll judge me, and you're better than most people, or, okay, you're welcome to come to heaven. I was kind of figured that that would be the case. I didn't realize that there was a difference between believing that God was there, believing in God. I did believe that. I always have always believed that there's God, but what I didn't understand was there's a difference, a major difference between accepting Christ as your Savior and believing God is real. One night, I was talking to her about this. We had gotten talking. It wasn't this church, but the church we were going to at the time. The pastor kept talking about you got to be saved, and I kept hearing this word saved. I kept hearing it all the time. I finally confronted her and I said, what is a saved word? What's the saved business? I don't understand what they keep talking about. You got to be saved. So she explained to me what saved meant. It means saved from sin, saved from hell, saved from punishment. These different things. And I thought, that makes sense. I like that. So she must have gone home and talked to Leonard about it, because the next night or two or three, whenever it was, very within a few days, I'd say, we were back over to her house, and she had left. We were sitting on the couch, and she had left the room, and a few minutes later, Leonard had walked in with his Bible, and he said, I understand, you've got some questions and comments, or you're concerned maybe about salvation. I was wondering if I could talk to you about that. And I said, I'd like to talk about that. So we sat at the couch, and Leonard showed me, first time in my life, someone had actually taken a Bible and opened it up and personally went through and showed me certain handful of verses that described to me what it takes, what it takes to go to heaven. It's not just about being a good person and then trying to live properly. It's about accepting the fact that you're a sinner and that there's a penalty for sin, and what reeled me in was Romans chapter 10, where it talks about you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord. And I remember when he was going through those verses, I kind of thought, I don't know if I really ever understood it like this before. I believe, he explained to me that there's you have to believe in Christ as your Savior, and just believing in God isn't enough. And so that night he had asked me if I wanted to pray with him and get that straightened out and talk and ask Jesus to be my Savior and to become saved, as I was asking about. So I did that. I finally, again, this is if I had other time to tell you the story, I finally realized that that's something I need to do. And I prayed the prayer and I asked God to forgive me and to save me and to accept me. And I believe that night he did that. And from then on, I've been in church ever since. But I'd like to. I wish I could say that my life changed, just like that. And I all the things I shouldn't do, I quit doing. All things I should do, I started doing. But it took me time. I we're all probably still a work in progress, gradually getting better. But I drifted to where I am today. I wish I had one of those testimonies where, man, I was different the next day, and I was going to attack the world, and I was going to be just this totally different person, but it wasn't the case. And I have been in church since, and I've been trying to properly, serve God. And I've gotten involved with, going out on visitations and soul winning things, and now with the kids, working at the junior church. And ushers and in the Bible, the Vacation Bible School thing the preacher mentioned, and now this opportunity to be a deacon, I appreciate the opportunity, and I do. I am going to take it very seriously and use it not only to help to be a servant for you and for whatever I can do to help you, but I'm going to do it selfishly in my own life, because it makes me feel that I need to. Step it up one notch even further and try to get myself as close to God as I can do, and I plan to do that. So I'm thankful for, like Harry said, I've dodged death, you might say, literally, and I'm still here. So God has a plan, and I'm gonna serve as best I can, and I appreciate the opportunity to be in this church to do that. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. And then I'm going to ask Brother Larry to come, Brother Larry Maxwell. Of course, Brother Larry is married to Bev, and they have two children. They have seven grandchildren, two in heaven and five still living, and two great-grandchildren. Of course, we're praying for little Ziva, still in the hospital, and still need God to work in her life. But as I mentioned this morning, Brother Larry is one of our charter members, was here when the church started. He has been the treasurer since the church started, has sang in the choir, has been an usher, and again, has done just about anything his preacher wants him to do. So, Brother Larry, share your testimony.
Well, most of you know me. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But anyway, well, when I was about 12 years old, I lived in Newberry, Michigan, and I was saved at the First Baptist Church in Newberry. I can remember it was upstairs in the pastor's office. He went up the little bitty skinny stairs. I didn't really know what he had up there, but he said if I wanted to get saved, that was where he had to go. So I went, and for that summer, I really, I don't know, I guess you'd say in my own will, was going to be a good Christian. So I went to Bible camp and all that, and then school started, and my Aunt Ree kind of didn't let me stay bed nights anymore. So nobody sent me to church. So I went my own way as a prodigal son, and it was many, many years and before I came around again. And then I woke up one day and I was 23 years old, had a wife, two great kids, only they were kids then, and my neighbor wanted to know, or not my neighbor, but a good friend of ours wanted to know if he could take my kids to church. I said, well, sure, why not? I used to go to church. He said, okay. So for, I don't know, must have been most of a summer, they took the kids to church. And I give them a dollar, you know, put that in the offering plate because I remember that far. And anyway, they went, and then they had a drive that for every person they got to bring to Sunday school or church, they got a silver dollar. Well, my kids being like everybody else's, you know, silver dollars were pretty. So they started inviting other kids, and then they had the final week of this drive was if they got, they went, supposed to go home and tell their parents, bring us to church, don't send us. So that was the drive. So my neighbor, well, my friend says, well, you ought to bring them. And my daughter, whom is sitting right here, said, Dad, you got to take us. You can't just send us this week because we get double. I said, okay. So we went, and, well, that was the beginning of the end. So we went several times, and I give myself to the Lord finally. He had a plan all that time because, I'll tell you, I've sowed wild oats and barley and wheat, and he never abandoned me ever. So then I got saved there, and then we went from that church to another church to another church to I think there was one more in there, and we landed here. And I've been here ever since, trying to serve the Lord as best I can. Sometimes it's good, sometimes I don't do so good, but I do it with all my heart. My family's here. This church has gotten me through so much you wouldn't believe it. And I'm just really, really honored to have this opportunity to serve you. Thank you.
You know, I guess I should have asked for these guys' testimonies before I recommended them as deacons. Okay, so these are the four men that we have chosen to be our deacons. Now I'd like to introduce you to our trustees, and I want Brother John Thiem to come. And Sharon, it's good to see you tonight. Thank you for coming. And Brother John has one child, his daughter Jillian, who is sitting over there. And he's been a member of our church since November of 1989, taught Sunday school for a long, long time, and has faithfully worked in the sound room week after week after week after week. And I so much appreciate Brother John's faithfulness. And so Brother John, share your testimony with us, please, sir.
Okay, when I was in my mid-20s, I was just traveling around, just drinking, carrying on, smoking, doing drugs. And there was something that had to happen in my life because I knew I was on the road to destruction. And one night the Lord said, that was enough. He said, I want you to come home. So I called my brother Leonard and his wife up and talked to him about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we talked for about 2 hours. I came home. They sent her pastor over to me, and he talked to me and told me I need to get in church. And I started going to church that following week, and I didn't want to be late for church, so I started going to Sunday school. Got up early and came to Sunday school. And a few months later, I got saved. And it's been the best thing that's ever happened in my life. And I didn't realize at the time was that I was already on their prayer list for 6 months. So that tells you that prayer works when you put people on prayer list for salvation. Then when I was going out in Montrose, and I worked with the little kids in the nursery for a while. Angie was little, and she went there a few times. And I went. Then when I started coming out looking for a church here, first time I seen this church, I pulled in the driveway. Went, wow, they had about 4 foot of grass in the yard. It's like a hayfield. But when I got into the church, it was warm. I could feel God calling me, and this was the place where I needed to be, but I still wasn't ready to say yes. And then Brother Darrell and Brother Walt Smith came over and talked to me, and that's when God said, this is the place you've been, and I've been here ever since. And there could have been times that I wanted to quit, just walk away from all, but God kept nudging me and saying, there's something for me. And I almost didn't want to accept being a trustee, but again, God spoke to me and said, I got something else for you to do, and just keep going. You know, when I first come to this church, you know, Angie was little, and now I can see how she's grown up, and now she's leading, and that tells me that we're doing things the right way. Another thing I want to say, last thing I want to say, is that if you would have come here 20 years ago, you would have heard the same type of sermon that we hear today from Brother Darrell. He hasn't changed. That is one thing that hasn't changed, even though other circumstances have changed. And I appreciate this church so much and the family, that prayer, even though I may not say it to me, but they pray. And when we first got here, I also want to say is that we didn't have a piano player for about 2 years. So I appreciate Teresa so much, and I like telling her that I do, because the other week when she wasn't here on Sunday night, it was just not only Adam does a good job, but it's the music that we miss and stuff. And we've been praying for about the last 10 years, we've had a piano player, so I appreciate that. And we need to keep praying so we have a backup, and just keep praying that souls get saved and that we'll be here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Okay, I'm going to ask Brother John's brother that he mentioned in his testimony, Brother Leonard Thiem, to come. Of course, Leonard is married to Vicki. They have 3 children, 5 grandchildren, and 1 on the way. And we're praying for Carrie. Brother Leonard's been a member of the church since March of 1990. Serving as an usher, sings in the choir, loves to sing in the choir. We drafted him a few weeks ago when Adam was gone to lead the singing, and he had a lot of fun doing that. And so we found our backup song leader, Brother John. Brother Leonard, share your testimony with us, please, sir.
And someday you may even find one that can read music. But my testimony was when I was, probably 12, 13, something was changing in my life, and then I remember they were building a house across the road from my folks' house out on the other side of Clio, and this young couple moved in, and they had little kids, and we didn't think nothing of it, but I'd noticed, you know, they were always going to church every Sunday, and, you know, of course, John worked the night shift, and so, but Kay would, even on Wednesday, Kay was going to church, and I said, wow, that's different. Well, John and Kay had a burden for youth. And they began to take troubled youth into their house, into their home, you know, to live with them. And, of course, you know, one of them happened to be, I'm sorry, dear, but it was an attractive young woman. And, of course, all the boys in the neighborhood, we automatically flocked to that house. And one day, my brothers and my nephew Brian, we were in the backyard playing basketball, and John walks over and starts talking with us, John Glenn. And I accepted the Lord in my folks' backyard. And my life has, I can't tell you that I've always, you know, walked the way I should have. Like Harry, I became a rebellious teenager, but praise God, when my wife and I got together, her mother got a hold of me and, you know, said, look, you need to, you know, get in here. You need to get back into the Lord and serve the Lord. And I have over the years, and things have happened, and there have been times when I have not wanted to come, and I honestly wrestled with God. And I'm telling you, you don't want to wrestle with God, because he will win.
That's right.
He will win. But I joined, I guess, back around in 90, I believe it was.
Right.
And didn't come for a long time, and it wasn't, and I kept telling myself, well, you know, I didn't feel like I was welcomed, or I didn't feel this. And driving home from work one day, the Lord spoke to me in that small, still voice and says, Lenny, he says, it's not them, it's you. You have to open up. You have to let them love you. They want to love you. They're there. They want to love you. And I just thank you, and I am so honored for this, because I never thought I would ever have the opportunity to serve in this capacity again, and I just want to thank you all for it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Leonard.
Brother Terry Tolman, I'd like you to come. Of course, Terry is married to Phyllis. They have, Terry has two children, and they have five grandchildren and one great-grandchild. Terry and Phyllis have been coming to the church and took membership in January of 2005. Of course, Terry serves as an usher. He is our Vacation Bible School float designer and builder for the past couple years, and it's just one of our main fixer-uppers around here. Whenever we need anything done, we can always call Terry and know that he'll be there to help us. So Terry, share your testimony with us, please, sir.
Yeah, my Christianity and religious belief started when I was very young. My mother was a very religious woman and taught a lot of religious principles in the house and took me to church. And we moved around a little bit as kids and went to different churches. But most of my basic knowledge of God was taught by my mother. And then we started going to church when I was real young. We moved into Montrose when I was about 7 or 8, and we started going to Nazarene Church for 3 or 4 years. And then that wasn't satisfying me, so I moved over to the Baptist Church in Montrose on the east side of town. And that's when I found God, when I was about 15 years old. Preaching was a lot like we got here, and I apologize for being emotional. This is quite an honor for me. I feel really privileged to serve in this church and serve you people. I feel unworthy for the lifestyle I lived. Anyways, I became a teenager, and this is a lesson for you young kids, that your parents teach you all the right things and teach you your Christian religious beliefs, and then when you get your car and you get out with your friends, you don't need religion anymore. You need a good time, and that's what I did. As I got away from that, and I went out and indulged in activities that they're all sins, and you know, in our society, drink and smoke and girls, all the things that a guy shouldn't do. If I'd have stayed in church and stuck with my religious beliefs, I'd have had a lot smoother lifestyle. I wouldn't have had so many bumps in my life. But I managed to go through, and I managed to stay out of jail and keep from getting arrested. But I stayed away from God, because you would have never caught me in a place like this, because I was a happy sinner. I was very happy with what, you know, the talking nasty and being mean mouth and all the things that sinners do in this world. There's a lot of happy sinners out there. We're all trying to convert people and get them to understand they need to put God in their life. I was one of them that you couldn't convert. I was a happy sinner. And then I met Phyllis, and we got married, and a few years went by, and there was a physical tragedy that come up, a medical tragedy with her lung cancer, and we were absolutely emotionally devastated. So we looked at each other after about a month or so of sitting around the house, just not knowing how to get past this. And we come here, and we heard Brother Chuck stand up and read the gospel and pray in front of the church. And we both looked at each other. We felt really unworthy to be here, and said, that's what we need. We need what Chuck's got, because his Christianity just shined. His love for God just shined. And that's when we decided we were going to dedicate ourselves back to God. And that's when we did, about 4.5 years ago. And you'd have to break both our legs and drag us away to keep us from this place today, because we come in here and we worship God, and we just, all day long, from the time we wake up till we go to sleep at night, we just praise God for the wonderful things he's done for us. And all the years that we ignored him, he was still looking out for us. We've been blessed more than you can imagine. And if you can convince your friends and family that they can put God in their life, it'll truly be a blessing for them. I guess I'm preaching to the choir with most of us in here. But again, I'd like to thank you for this privilege, and I really feel kind of unworthy, and I'll do the best I can to keep the church as solvent as possible and as friendly and lovable as possible and keep the ministry going. I thank you so very much.
Thank you, Terry. And I'm going to ask Brother Jeff Woodward to come. Jeff, of course, is married to Kim. They have three children and three grandchildren. And Jeff has been a member since October of 07. He is one of our Sunday school teachers in the junior department. Usher, sings in the choir. And Brother Jeff, share your testimony, please, sir.
Well, like a lot of these men here, early in my life, I was always raised, I thought, as a Christian in a Christian home. I knew the guidelines. I knew what was right and knew what was wrong. And for quite a while, I just floated around and didn't really think much of it. And then, as the Lord will do in circumstances in life, he'll push you, and he'll put you where you want to go or where he wants you to go. I had bad circumstances when early in my life. I married the wrong woman, and she took everything and left 11 months later. I mean, she had planned it out so it was just right, so she took everything. But the Lord put me in a certain place where I was at so I could meet my next wife. I would have never met her. But a couple years after we'd gotten married, I said, well, you know, we need to get back to church, and we need to start attending. And she had no clue what I was talking about. You know, what's church, you know? But I went back to the church I had been attended to when I was younger. And she got saved, and I still kind of rolled around and wasn't here or there, you know. And as a habit I always was into, still being raised right and proper, I like to read God's Word. And one day I was reading it along, and John 3:16 just seemed to just jump out and slap me. And I understood for the first time what my Lord Savior did for me. And I bowed down and got saved in that day. And then I went home, told my wife, and then we started getting into church real heavy, and we did a lot of things. And as God does, for some reason I was strong-willed. I decided I was going to do things my way for a long time. So we attended church. We still kept faithful, but I wasn't there. I wasn't in God's will. I knew that there was something wrong. And so we just, as you live your own life, as you think you should live your own life, God will place things in your way to stumble you, to stop you, to turn you, to get where you were supposed to be at. Well, he did that, and he placed quite a few stumbling blocks in my way. And I felt that where I was at, I could not attend at the church I was at anymore because my life was dead. So we started, as you would say, kind of shopping around. And like the Lord does again, we were living in an area that we weren't going to do anything. We weren't going to go anywhere. So he moved us into this area, and that's why we started looking around for churches around here. And two places we looked, and the third one was here, and we knew this was it. And I've always had a desire to want to serve God, but I was never really allowed to. Because man likes to put where you should be at. Well, God wants you where he wants you at. He's going to win. So surrender now, okay? You'd be a whole lot better for you and everybody around. So if you just give your will over to him now, and let him take control. And for almost the last 2 years now, he's did wondrous things in our lives. And I don't deserve, I'm not worthy of this position. Only by God's grace, I'm here. And I want to serve with my heart. And same thing, I'm here for you, and especially for Pastor. If there's anything, you let me know. I just praise God for everything he's done in our lives, and what he's going to do for us. And I appreciate you being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for these men. Thank you for their testimonies. Thank you that you've saved each one of them. Thank you that you brought them our way and given them a willingness to serve. And I pray that as they take their respective offices, that, Father, you would give them everything they need to serve you and to serve this church in a way that would be pleasing to you. Thank you for their love. Thank you for their faithfulness. And again, Father, I pray that you would bless them. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to do something biblical that is in the Bible, and that's laying on of hands. This practice is mentioned at least 7 times in the Bible, and I've sort of put them in 4 categories just to explain to you tonight what we're about to do. The first time it's mentioned in the Bible is in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, where Moses laid his hand on Joshua, and the Bible says the spirit of wisdom came on Joshua. He was about to take over from Moses, lead the people into the promised land, and he needed wisdom. Just like these men need wisdom. They're going to help, you know, with the programs of the church and with the taking care of the property and the business and the budgets and all that other thing. And so we're going to lay our hands on them tonight, and we're going to ask the Lord to give them wisdom. Another 2 times in the Bible, laying on of hands resulted in people receiving the Holy Ghost. Philip had preached at Samaria. Many people got saved. Peter and John came there, and the Bible says they laid their hands on the folks there, and they received the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts chapter 19, Paul came to Ephesus and met a group of people that were saved under John the Baptist. He preached Christ to them. They got saved. He laid their hands on them. They got the Holy Ghost. And I know all these men are Christians. They have the Holy Ghost residing in them since they got saved. But every single one of us could use more of the Holy Ghost and surrender more of ourselves to him. And so as we lay our hands on them tonight, we're going to ask God for them to surrender more of themselves and be filled to a greater degree with the Holy Ghost. Twice in the Bible, laying on of hands was for the purpose of setting people aside for a special service. It was done in Acts chapter 6 to the first 7 deacons. It was done in Acts chapter 13 to Paul and Barnabas before they went on their first missionary journey. And then the last 2 times that it's mentioned in the Bible, Paul wrote Timothy, and both of those times he instructed Timothy to not neglect the gift or stir up the gift that was given to him by the laying on of hands. And I hope these men will in the future look back to this night, to this time we're going to spend the next few minutes laying our hands on them and ask for wisdom, ask to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and to know they've been set aside for a special purpose. And so I would like their wives to come and stand behind them in the chairs that they are. And Jillian, if you would come up and stand behind your dad. I'm going to ask the men to kneel at their chairs right where they are. Adam's going to come and join me, and Adam will start down here with the trustees, and I'll start down here with the deacons. And again, men, I'd ask you to kneel in your chairs. I would ask you to pray. You can keep your eyes open and watch what goes on, but I would ask you to pray for these men as we come quickly and we lay our hands on each one of them and have a special word of prayer for them. Now, if I'm going to keep my promise to you, it means I only got 2 minutes, and I don't think I can get done in 2 minutes. So I'm going to ask for your patience to just give me a few more minutes. I want to give a charge to these 8 men. I know you'll be listening as I speak to them. Many of the things I say will apply not only to them, but to everybody here. And so I would just beg you to listen as I speak to them. You've been elected as deacons and trustees to serve the church. All of us are servants. I am. Adam is. You are. We serve God by serving one another. And tonight we are setting you aside to do that, to fulfill the duties for which you were selected. in my charge to you tonight, I'm going to mention some things that you will need in your life if you're going to serve the Savior and serve the church in the way that he wants us to. And I'm going to mention seven things. And again, I'll speak quickly if you'll listen quickly. But here they are. Number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. With all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And I would charge you tonight that you love God with all you are, that you love God with your whole being, that you love God with everything you got, that you sell out to him and give him everything, and let there be nothing between you and your Savior. He needs to have first place, as this verse says, in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind. And if you're going to be the deacon and trustee and serve the Savior and serve us in a way that would be pleasing to God, he needs to have that first place. Number two, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to love others. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what they talk like. They could put R in Warsh. And it does, that's an inside joke, Brent. I'll explain it to you after we get done. Me and your dad are the minority. But it doesn't matter what they have or what they don't have. We need to love them like we love ourselves. We need to be no respecter of persons. We need to treat one another like we want to be treated. And again, the only way we can be the deacon and trustee, that you can be the deacon and trustee that will serve the Savior and serve the church, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Number three, you need to be godly husbands to your wives. You need to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I know that none of you are perfect husbands. I've talked to your wives. Each of us, and I'll speak to all the husbands that are here, need to allow God to mold us to be more of what he wants us to be as a husband. Doesn't come overnight. He's been working on some of us a long, long time. As somebody, one of the men said, we are a work in process. But you cannot serve the church and serve the Savior if you are not loving your wife as Christ loved the church and was willing and did give himself for it. Number four, you need to have your house in order. And what I mean by that is you need to do right by your children. You need to tell them about Jesus. You need to raise them for God. And if they're little and still at home, you need to take them to church like we've heard in the testimonies tonight. And if they're big and living outside the house, you need to get them in church every time and every way that you can. You need to set the right kind of example. And again, you cannot serve the church in a way that would be pleasing to God unless you're doing that. Number five, you need to love this book. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to memorize it. You need to meditate. You need to turn to it for answers. And we need to know that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it is our owner's manual, as I said this morning. And you need to learn to love this book and to spend time in it. Number six, you need to be men of prayer. You need to pray without ceasing. We need to know that God invites us to call unto him, and as we call unto him, he'll show us great and mighty things that we can't imagine. We need to learn to pray about everything, the little things, the big things, and everything in between. And we need to know that God hears and that he answers. And then number seven, you need to never forget how good God was to you when he saved you. Never forget that. You were a sinner headed for hell. You had no hope.
There was nothing that you could do to change your destination. But when you were a sinner, God loved you. And when you were a sinner, he sent his only son to die on the cross in your place. And I'm so glad that there came a time in every one of your lives where you got a glimpse of that and you reached out in faith and you asked Jesus to save you. And he did. He made you right with God, gave you a home in heaven. And as several of you have said, we do not deserve it. We cannot earn it. We cannot pay it back. And as the song says, oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. Oh, what a wonder. And I'd encourage and instruct you men tonight, never lose that wonder that God loved you and saved you and sent a Savior to die in your place. Now, as I say that to them, I say that to every single person here. God loves you. You're sinners. Some of you are here tonight, many of you are here tonight, and you know what it is to be a Christian because you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. But there's probably some here tonight that never have. I want to tell you, God sent Jesus to die for you. You may have rejected him up to this point in your life. You may have had nothing to do with him. But God loves you. And he sent Jesus to die in your place. He wants you to be saved. He wants to give you a home in heaven. He can only do that if you come and receive the Savior. I can't think of a better time to do it than tonight. I know you're saying, preacher, well, I didn't come to get saved tonight. I came because my dad or my grandpa or my father-in-law was being ordained as a deacon or as a trustee. I didn't plan on getting saved. That's all right. God planned on you getting saved. He knew what was going to happen tonight. He knew you were going to be here. He knew you needed to hear the gospel. And tonight, I can't think of a better time or a better place or a better occasion for you to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to have a song of invitation, and I want Teresa to come, and Adam's going to come and lead us. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you come. We'll take the Bible, and we'll show you from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, tonight would be the night that the Holy Spirit gets their attention, and they would come. And they would ask Jesus to be their Savior. Man, woman, boy, girl, whoever it is, don't care how many times they've been here, maybe just a couple, maybe hundreds of times, but they don't know Christ. They need to know Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would speak to them. Show them a need for the Savior and show them Christ and help them come tonight and receive him. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.